DW Spectrum with Gabriel Borrood and Connor Dillon.
What do you get when you guzzle down sweets?
Eating as much as an elephant eats.
What are you at getting terribly fat?
What do you think will come of that?
What do you think will come of that? Hello and welcome to Spectrum. My name is Connor Dillon.
And I am Gabriel Borrood, and those are the Oompa Loompas from Charlie's Chocolate Factory.
And for any of you who've seen that movie, rivers of chocolate, more sweets than you can possibly imagine, the stuff of a child's dreams. But guess what? It exists in real life.
In Cologne,
in
the
Cologne,
ISM
Germany.
Sweets and Snacks Fair. We're going to head there this week.
We are. And just to kind of give you an idea as to the size of this endeavor, this trade fair full of candy is roughly 3 million square feet. That's 300,000 square meters. And that's probably a meaningless number to you. That is roughly the equivalent of 10 IKEAs. Placed all alongside each other.
Every time I fly here to Germany, I leave from Chicago O'Hare Airport. This thing is bigger than Chicago O'Hare, it feels like, at least.
It's unbelievably huge. And very recently, it was stuffed full of candy.
And we are heading there right now, Connor. I got something for you. Let's go.
I don't like the look of it.
Oompa, loompa, doopity-da.
Hey, Connor, I got an idea.
This is usually the start of something terrible.
I want you to eat everything you see. If there's a sample, you eat it. It doesn't matter what it is, whether you want it. If you can eat it, you do eat it.
I will try this. Saying in advance that if we were to do this in every single hall, I would die. I don't know if there's...
Well, you could always vomit.
That's true. I would vomit. So let's go and see if I can make it, I guess, for a little while.
Okay, let's get started. Oh, look at that. Right there.
Okay, so
one of each.
No way. I'll do
one of each.
One from this one. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm eating a...
What is that?
Heart? A marshmallow gummy heart covered in sugar.
It's soft.
Good thing there's sugar on it, because it would have been terrible if there wasn't extra sugar on top of the...
Uh-oh. I see something coming.
I have not even...
Get your hand into that soccer ball.
Oh, so these are...
Is that toffee?
I hope it's toffee. Oh, it is toffee.
All right, get it in.
No, taffy.
Taffy.
And with an FC Bayern
Munich. Taffy. Enough talking.
FC Bayern Munich logo on it. There you go. Ooh.
Uh-oh. Merry Christmas. Get a couple of those balls.
I can go for the egg.
Okay.
I think the balls are more Christmassy, but this is more looking ahead toward...
That's right. Easter's on the horizon.
Thank you for the chocolates.
Uh-oh. What do we got over here?
Hi there.
What do we got here?
Energy balls. It's mango cocoa, raspberries, chia seeds, which I can really recommend. And the other one is chocolate with protein.
I've been having a lot of sugar at this point. So what's the one with the least amount of sugar?
Actually, there is no sugar added. The only sugar that's inside, it's fructose. So it's from the fruit itself.
I'm admiring it. It looks like vinyl.
Enough admiring.
It's really fragile. So we have four different kinds. That one is mango, which is quite intense. And then we also have tomato crisp, which are more on the salty side.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's really nice. We've got some more work to do.
I've got more
Okay,
poopsie.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye. That's good. Look at this beefcake.
Wow.
Uh-oh. Oh, here we go.
What is this, gum?
Mm-hmm.
This is from Saudi Arabia.
From Saudi Arabia.
Gum from Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
All right.
Well.
We have with sugar, we have without sugar, as you like.
And tell me, I know Saudi Arabia has a very high percentage of diabetes 2 cases. I know there are a lot of people pushing back against against
before,
sugar.
But now it's everything also different. The people go to school, more people.
Saudi Arabians are eating less sugar?
Now.
Eating less sugar?
Yes. Now this is more healthy.
What does that mean? More healthy means less sugar?
Yeah, before we took in more sugar without thinking about it is very dangerous, you know.
And in Saudi Arabia, do you have more people asking for products with no sugar or less sugar? Is that something you're saying?
Now more asking about without sugar.
I have been eating more sugar than I ever eat. I probably haven't eaten this much sugar today or since I was a child on Halloween.
I think we should go for some Saudi Arabian gum without sugar.
Sugar-free.
Yes, please. Come talk.
All right, I want you to sink your teeth into some Saudi Arabian gum.
It's a really dramatic way of putting it, but yes, I will. It's good. It's not that sweet. I mean, that's kind of stating the obvious, but...
Thank you, ma'am. We got work to do. See you later. Oh, what do we got over here?
Pistachio cream and the milk chocolate. Fantastic, indulging, full and creamy.
Thank you.
Okay. We have work to do, so...
I have more to eat. Cinnamon gum is going back in my mouth.
Thank you, sir. Hey, Connor, how are you feeling?
I'm doing fine. Actually, what I was wondering is... What would happen if you had done this as a type 1 diabetic?
Well, I guess that depends on how much insulin I had taken. But if I had not taken any insulin, my blood sugar... We started this game, about 10 minutes ago?
Mm-hmm.
My blood sugar would already be probably 3 times higher than it should be.
And higher than mine is, right? Like,
yeah,
your blood...
You can't... Your pancreas is really, really good at dealing with sugar.
Okay.
It secretes insulin, and that insulin gets the sugar out of your blood. It catalyzes the reaction that gets the sugar out of your blood to the organs. If I would have done this, the sugar would stay in my blood because insulin, that catalyst, is not there.
So you have to
wouldn't happen.
You have to inject the insulin
in? Oh, yeah. I'm my pancreas. Yeah, that's it.
Hmm.
I inject insulin because my pancreas doesn't make it. That's type 1 diabetes, by the way.
Could you still do this, though? Like, could you walk through, eat as much candy as you want, and just keep injecting the insulin in?
Of course.
And you'd be fine?
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd have to be very good at doing it. You'd have to know exactly how much carbohydrate or how much sugar is in... Wait a minute. Oh, we're still doing our thing.
Popcorn.
Eat that.
There's no sugar on it.
Did you take the...
The gum out. I did not mix my gum with popcorn.
Have you just been taking the gum out every time?
Yeah.
And putting it in your back pocket and putting it back in?
Behind my ear, that's the trick.
Uh-oh! It's a piece of cake.
No, this is like the proverbial, you know, drink that ends the night here.
This is strawberry cake for Valentine's Day for your lovelies.
Aww.
And you can try it with a little bit of coconut and low sugar.
Does that mean, low sugar? It's a piece of chocolate.
It's cake.
So much sugar in it.
How?
You want to fool me or what do you want?
I want you to explain to me how this cake is low in sugar.
It has something to do with health. Everybody wants to be healthy. Everybody wants to be fit and have a great body. That's why I think everybody wants to reduce the sugar and eat low sugar and live good. And that's why I think everybody loves it. And for me, it has to do something with health because I have diabetes. Do you know that? Diabetes?
You have diabetes?
Yes, that's why.
Oh, so do I
need to.
Type 1 or type 2?
I need to take some medicine, so I think it's
type 2.
Oh, I'm not right. If I would not take on so much weight, I would eat more sugar. I don't want to look or have a sick life or illness, or my diabetes is very hard for me, so I need to reduce sugar. That's something for my health.
Hey, hey Connor, how's that cake? You finished the whole thing?
Yeah, so while you guys were chatting...
You ate that whole piece of cake?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, we got more work to do. Thank you very much,
yeah,
ma'am.
Thank you, too. Bye.
Yo, are you feeling okay?
I'm feeling... I don't know what that feeling is. Like, in your throat and stomach, when it feels like it's lined with frosting. I think it's called... it's called frosting throat.
I think I got something that might help that. Right here.
What is this,
a smoothie?
Yeah, we're going to have to ask about this one because I have no idea. It looks like little shot glasses.
What is this?
This is a smoothie.
It's a smoothie?
Yes.
Oh, well, I was right. Drink it. Where is this from?
The Netherlands.
The Netherlands?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
In the Netherlands, is there pushback against sugar? Or are you reducing the sugar because that's what consumers want?
It's a topic. Everyone wants to get more healthy, eat more healthy. So sugar, you have to be more aware of it.
Which is funny because my mom is Dutch, and when I was a kid, whenever she went to Holland or came back from there, all we had was candy. As a matter of fact, we had these things that we put on our bread, hagelslag, pure chocolate. Now the Dutch are becoming aware of sugar. About time.
But you're not traumatized, are you?
No. I'm diabetic, but... Thanks, Mom. Connor, what are you doing?
All this talk about sugar made me want to eat. There are bowls of...
You just ate that fruit roll-up?
It's like the kind of fruit roll-up that's covered in sugar, so it acts like sandpaper on your mouth and eventually makes your tongue bleed if you eat enough of it.
Well, we got more work to do. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, Connor, I think we should stop this game. You're getting out of control. I'm putting a stop to this right now. No more eating anything.
I wish I could see what was actually going inside my body right now. How is my body reacting to the fact that I stuffed chocolate, sweet creams, caramel,
taffy,
licorice, all sorts of, I don't even know what I've eaten.
Fruit roll-up?
What does my body think right now? I mean, on the one hand, it's energy. I'm feeling good. I really am feeling good. I have the energy to keep going. I could walk all 12 halls, but yeah, is it good for me? Is it bad for me? Am I shortening my life?
Maybe we should talk to someone about that.
Yeah.
So my name is Annette Buchen, and I'm a professor of public health nutrition at the University of Paderborn, and I have expertise in carbohydrate nutrition, specifically among children and adolescents.
Okay, so Annette, my first question for you, I have just eaten a disgusting amount of sugary things from the International Sweets Fair in Cologne, Germany.
Yes.
Let's call it a pound of sugar, or roughly a half kilogram of sugar.
It was a lot.
What did I just do to my body?
Okay, so in terms of getting a disease, you would need to do that more often to really become sick from that. If you do that one day, you can compensate it on the next day. And it also depends a little bit on whether you've eaten it in a liquid form or whether you've eaten it in a solid form.
And what's the difference there?
Well, we do know that if you have sugar in a liquid form, that's most likely to not be detected by your satiety system. So it just bypasses, specifically if you do it in between meals. And you can imagine that if you do that very often, then you will become overweight and eventually develop type 2 diabetes.
Okay, so wait a minute. If I drink a sweet can of soda, my body is not even going to realize that I've just had these extra calories?
It's not going to realize it in the way... So there's a nice study showing that because you realize it's liquid, that's the first thing, and because it's liquid, these two things, you knowing that it's liquid and it being liquid, both contributes to a lower satiety response, which doesn't mean it's not realized at all, but your body doesn't sense it in the way, it doesn't sense quite the amount of calorie that you're actually taking in.
Speaking of calories, one question I have, looking through these studies, it seems really hard, these studies on sugar and what it does to our bodies, it seems hard to differentiate between sugar and calories in some ways, because a lot of the same people who consume way too much sugar are living sedentary lifestyles, are sitting on the sofa too much, and they're eating more calories anyway than they should have. So what does the science show about sugar specifically?
Well, there's two levels, let's put it. The one is the one I just told you about, that we do know from studies that if you have a diet that is richer in sugar, so you're eating more sugar in your daily diet than somebody else, that will eventually make you eat more calories in total, just because of the fact that the diet is richer in sugar. Hmm. That's one thing. And the other thing is that when you look at these observational studies, then things like the couch potato story come in. So if you have a study that you ask people today what they eat and then look at whether they get overweight or type 2 diabetic within the next years, then you always have the problem of not being able to tell the difference between what they just drank and whether they spent a lot of time on the sofa, on the couch, and whether they even perhaps also smoked. So what you need to do is you need to look into other studies that are randomized controlled trials and see if you randomize people to having extra loads of sugar or not, if there's a difference. And there's quite a few studies showing that what I just said in the beginning, that if you have a diet that is richer in sugar, that you would tend to eat more.
You said that one of your areas of expertise is diabetes.
Yes.
Can you say that the more sugar you eat, the more likely it is that you will develop the diabetes type 2? Can you say that?
No, you can't say that in general. I think you can't do that in general. That's a bit of a debate, but the data we have until today is most clearly for soft drinks, so, and perhaps also for fruit juice. That's a little bit of a debate. But if you have a lot of soft drinks, then the risk that you will develop type 2 diabetes goes up. And of course, what I just told you about eating too much calorie will eventually also contribute to developing type 2 diabetes. But sugar is just one thing. If you then instead eat lots of white bread, you might have done the wrong thing, because that might actually be worse.
That leads to my next question. Gabe and I were talking about how during our childhoods, fat was demonized.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Avoid fat at all costs, but you know, if you want to drink a couple cans of cola, that's fine.
Yeah.
Is there a risk in making sugar too taboo?
I think so, yes. I think we should learn a little bit from that experience, that we've blamed it all on fat. We should not repeat the same mistake now blaming it all only on sugar. Because as I just said, if you cut out all the sugar from your diet, all of it, and instead have lots of cornflakes without sugar, then that's going to make your blood sugar go up really quickly too. And that's not good carbohydrate either. So that's probably not a good idea.
Okay, so many thanks there to Professor Annette Buchan from Paderborn University.
Mm-hmm.
Don't blame it all on sugar.
Yep. Don't make sugar the boogeyman.
We met some guys, or a team of people at the ISM who seem to be doing that. Remember the guys with the Fight Sugar?
Oh, yeah.
Literally,
oh, yeah.
On their shirts?
Yeah, yeah. They have a new protein bar. Protein bar product. And I have to say that they're... The biggest marketing tool they had there was one of the guys was just absolutely...
He was fit.
Chiseled.
He was fit.
I mean, he was the embodiment of the protein bar. But yeah, we went up and we decided to talk to them because I don't think we had seen anything at the ISM that put it that succinctly.
The reason why we walked up to them is because that was on their shirt,
yeah.
Fight Sugar. And we asked them, what does it mean?
It's mainly about the impact on your blood sugar level. If your body gets sugar, it's getting into your blood and then it's producing insulin. And it's very important for our body to avoid such insulin mountains in your daily business. So we try to reduce this, and your body feels much more powerful if you reduce insulin levels during the day.
You're speaking right now for someone who's healthy, not for someone who has diabetes. Like a normal human being.
Of course, for everyone. It's your day starts with a muesli or something similar, then your day starts with producing blood sugar and insulin, and this is not a powerful start into the day. So it should be really for everyone who tries to avoid it and want to have a powerful day.
Nutrition science is always complicated,
yeah.
But one thing I'm confused about is when I watch the Ironman competition in Hawaii,
yeah. Yeah.
Which was won by a German, again this year.
Okay.
All these images, they're on their bicycles for like 4 hours after they've already been swimming, and pounding sugary drinks, including Coca-Cola, one of them, right in the middle of the race. So is it bad to have sugar when you're exercising, or is it good to have sugar when you're exercising?
If you're doing an Ironman, no worries, but who of us is doing an Ironman?
Well, I mean, you look like an Ironman.
No, I'm not an Ironman. So, of course, but if he's doing it during the competition, please take the sugar. No worries about sugar at exactly this moment. But try to avoid it on your training level, because then you learn your body, you get energy directly.
If I may say so myself, you look very fit. Do you ever eat sugar?
No, I eat 6 days a week keto, so no sugar, no carbs, and one day I eat sugar and, of course, carbs, so it's one cheat day left.
One day a week you eat carbohydrate?
Do you just stuff yourself silly on that day? Carbohydrate, sugar?
No. Sugar? It's very interesting, because if you're really doing 6 days low carb, you don't have that big appetite. It's like... You're reducing your body to its sources of protein and so on. So it doesn't matter at all. Of course, I'm doing this on the cheat day, but you're not so hungry if you're doing that during the week.
Cheat day. Why do you call it a cheat day? What are you cheating? Who are you cheating?
If I have to avoid things like also pizza. I love pizza. And I try to avoid it during the week, and of course once in a week. That is why I call it cheat day. And your body can do it. So we want to avoid insulin levels during the week. We also call it ketosis. If you're in the ketosis, your body is able to produce sugar or ketones out of fat and energy out of fat. And if you're doing this too many times, your body will relearn it. So your body is not able to do this anymore if you're doing too much cheat day. So your body is not requesting it, but once a week, it makes definitely sense to get things you're not able to eat, like pizza.
Okay, so again, that was a group of Austrians behind a new power bar, or a new protein bar, rather, called the Keo.
Neo. N-E-O-H. Yep.
Yes, the Neo, for a quote-unquote powerful start in the day. I mean, if I could go back there, I would ask him to define what a powerful start in the day means scientifically, nutritionally, but for a powerful start in the day. But in general, with these protein bars, a lot of pseudoscientific terms being thrown around. In studio with us now, Carla Bleicher. Carla, you also had a chance to go to the Sweets Fair this year, and you had some protein bars as well.
Yeah, that's true. It felt like almost every other booth that you were walking, you know, that you passed on your way was trying to get you into protein bars, basically.
And did you try a couple?
I did. I tried the Hay Bar, and they make protein bars that really almost look like candy bars. They had a lemon cheesecake version. They had a chocolate brownie version. And I tried the chocolate brownie version, and it was pretty good, I gotta say.
How did the lemon cheesecake taste? Did you try that one?
I'm not really all that into lemon, so I would say it was fine, but it was definitely very cheesecakey.
I mean, it just makes me wonder whether we're all being tricked. Seriously, because I feel like the debate has come far enough that we know that certain candy bars that are you'll find it in convenience stores or gas stations, those are bad.
Right.
But if it's a protein bar,
then go hog wild with it.
It's good for you. You'll be totally fine.
This is actually what I asked her. You know, listen, you're telling me this is low on sugar and basically really good for you. But okay, if I want to gorge on chocolate, I'll get chocolate. And if I want healthy, shouldn't I have a carrot instead or an apple or a banana instead of your protein bar? And she was basically telling me that these protein bars, the Hay bars, that, you know, the chocolate brownie kind, was made exactly for people like me who, and I'm quoting her, do not go to the gym 6 times a week, but would really like some chocolate. And so that you don't feel quite as bad about yourself, you're supposed to take their protein bar.
Wait, this is energy bars for people who don't work out?
Pretty much, yeah.
What's going
on here?
I mean, I was just going to say, you're describing most people. Like this
those
energy
people
bar
out there who like chocolate.
And who don't go to the gym 6 days a week. Almost no one goes to the gym 6 days a week. No, it just strikes me as, or let me put it this way. We should all be wary of the marketing campaigns behind this. The repurposing or the marketing of protein bars as something, you know, perfectly healthy and always good for us when in fact, I don't know, in 20 years, protein bars might be the new candy bars.
Yeah.
Were most of the bars that, or the stands where you were at? Were they marketing towards men, or were they marketing towards just everyone or women or what?
That's a very interesting question. We walked past the booth of Cheatless. Cheatless, going back to the cheat day. So supposedly you can eat these bars without cheating because they're cheatless.
Oh, okay.
And I asked the rep that was at the booth the same question, you know, who are these bars for? And I was expecting to get an answer, something similar to what the Hay lady told me. So, you know, either for athletes or for people who really just want to eat chocolate, but you know, are trying to keep their sugar levels low. And he was saying to me, oh, the target group for this bar is women.
Cheatless.
Cheatless.
Cheatless is for women.
Cheatless is for women. And I found that confusing. So I asked him why. And he was telling me that women are really underrepresented in the protein bar sector, which is why they're marketing this to women. Which is why the packaging, for example, is a more feminine color palette. They come in pink and they come in pastel blue and other pastel colors to, you know, attract their target audience.
Because those are the only two colors that females can see. Mm-hmm. It's actually a lot like moths or bees or bats.
Yeah, they're missing a cone or two. Is that
Absolutely. And of course, you know, men will be put off by this packaging, so they know this is not for me.
So how did you feel when you saw the packaging?
They look like protein bars. I don't really know what to tell you.
Well, as a woman, they're made for you.
I know. No, okay. So the other reason he was telling me that this is for women is that women want to treat themselves to something sweet after they go to the gym. And I was like, okay. I mean, that's true for me, but I would think it's also true for guys. But, you know.
Okay, so I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this is completely anecdotal. I'm talking about my own family members, my siblings, my sisters, and my mother, who behave in exactly that way.
Yeah.
Now, in fact, I'd never thought about it till you said that, but it's always, typically it's like a...
Like how big is the treat then?
No, it'll be like...
Like a chocolate cake?
No, like a large sweetened coffee drink that you might not otherwise buy, but oh, come on, you've just gone to the gym and it feels so good to have one afterwards.
A treat is supposed to make you feel good, right? A treat is, I mean, it's in the word. You treat yourself to something good. Now, we tried those Cheatless bars. And I was there with a colleague. He tried them. I mean, even though they were clearly not for him because he was a guy, he wasn't that into the bars. And I was like, okay, well, you're not the target audience. I am. And I tried them and...
And it tasted wonderful.
They were not good.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Carl. And keep cheating.
Keep cheating, yeah. Don't worry about fidelity when it comes to food.
You will live in happiness too, like the Oompa Loompa Doompa-dee-doo.
Doompa-dee-doo. So I guess after not even experiencing the entire Cologne Sweets Fair, we've been in, what, Hall 11 and 2 and a couple more, but nothing, like, not the whole thing. I don't feel that great. I ate a disgusting amount of sugar, probably an unhealthy amount of sugar, but what surprised me the most... And what I'm going to take away from today is how many sweets manufacturers are really focused on getting sugar out. All of them. It seems like everyone we talked to today wanted to get sugar out of the equation.
No, not everyone we talked to said something to the effect of reducing or at least thinking about the amount of sugar
you
eat on a daily basis to be healthier.
Right. So either history is going to prove them right. And say that, you know what, sugar was awful all along and it was good to get it out, or maybe we're in the middle of a weird trend that turns out to be, maybe we're overdoing it. Maybe sugar's fine. I don't know. But
I have an idea for you.
Oh, no, I'm...
No, hear me out here.
I'm not eating
my
it
first
anymore.
My first idea was a little bad for you, but this one might be good.
Okay.
You now run home.
Home.
Run all the way home.
Sprint, just at a dead sprint.
It's about what, 40 kilometers? To the southeast.
That would get the sugar out. I would physically collapse.
Let me take the bags of stuff, the candy that you're going to be taking back to Deutsche Welle.
Okay.
I'll just drive that stuff back. You run home now.
Okay, but let me keep the sugar-free cinnamon chewing gum from Saudi Arabia.
You can have
please.
That pack of gum, but that's it. Go run. Run!
Run!
Sugar.
Oh, honey, honey.
And we want you to please keep listening to our show. Thank you to all of our listeners out there for tuning into this week's Spectrum. Thank you to our studio technician, Jürgen Kuhn.
And thank you to Annette Boykin of Paderborn University, Carla Bleicher, our DW Science colleague here.
And to all of the dozens of people we talked to at the International Sweets Fair in Cologne, Germany. By the end of it, you would all become one sort of faceless entity, a conglomeration of candy, like a gusher when you bite into it. But thank you. We can't name all of you, but thank you to all of the people there for taking the time to talk to us. If you have any questions, any insights, anything you want to talk about sugar-wise, please write us, spectrum@dw.com.
We read these emails.
And we write back. From all of us here at DW, from the SciTech department, have a wonderful and healthy week ahead.
See you guys.
Sugar, sugar.
kissed your girl, I knew how sweet a kiss could be.